We had a great trip. God did lots of really, really cool stuff. If you've never been on a mission trip, go as fast as you can. There's nothing quite as powerful that kind of shakes the foundation of your life and how we live it, as to getting into another culture and connecting with God and another church. We had an awesome time, and it was great to see what God was doing through our church, through our partnership with our church in Haiti. So let's start out by just saying Happy Father's Day. I know that many of you here are fathers, and fatherhood is an amazing honor that God has bestowed on some of us. And I know that fatherhood comes with a lot of hard work, a lot of stress, a lot of happiness, a lot of tears. And I just want to honor those of you that have given of yourselves to parent and to parent well. I want to also remind you, don't forget to call up your dad today and tell him what an awesome job he did and how much you love and care for him if you hadn't gotten a chance to do that already. I need to put something in my phone to remind me to do that myself. But there are many parts of who I am today that are a direct result of the influence of my father in my life. My dad believed that you tried to fix anything yourself before you ever called a professional. Anybody have a dad like that? Mm-hmm. You just try to fix it, and then when it's broken more and you can't fix it, that's only when you call a professional. Or just buy a new one. Just throw it away and buy a new one. And so I watched and stood beside and helped my dad with electric wiring, with plumbing, fixing drywall that I had messed up, working on cars, fixing lawnmowers, bikes, pretty much anything that was broken. I can remember sitting with my dad and attempting to fix these things. And in the midst of that, just gleaning a tremendous amount of life wisdom and kind of street smarts. One of the things my dad modeled for me is a Southern engineering. And some of you guys know what that means, is when you have something that's broke and you don't have the right tools or you don't have the right parts, but you do everything you can to fix it with what you can come up with, right? So if you don't know what I'm talking about, here's a few pictures of some examples. Broken window, stick a house window in there. Works. Fixed it. Yep. Yeah, just stick a dolly under there. Windshield wipers broke, just make it manual. So in first service, I forget who it was, but there was a lady sitting right back here that was like, this week we moved a car with a dolly underneath the tire. We actually did that. I thought that was really kind of funny. But at the baptism and picnic, Damon Trahan had told me a funny story. Is he in here? No? He had told me a funny story of the cable that was connected to his gas pedal had broken. All right, and so if your cable's broken, you can't accelerate your car. You turn it on, it's just sitting there running, nothing, you know. And so he had to get it home. And so he found two phone charger cables, tied them together, tied one end to the throttle inside under the hood, and then ran it out up to his door window, so that he could drive home like all the way. I thought, now that is absolutely brilliant. Wish I'd had a picture of that. But I'm sure Damon is thankful for his dad for teaching him to think outside the box, to engineer whatever he needed to get that car home. I am incredibly grateful for the things that my dad has taught me. My dad taught me what it meant to be a godly man. He taught me what it meant to have integrity, to have honesty. He taught me what commitment was like, what hard work was like. He modeled all kinds of skills of how to handle money, how to fix things that are broken, how to treat people. And I am just incredibly grateful for the man that he is and the things that he taught me. And I want to take just a moment and do something a little bit different. And I want to ask some of you guys to share just very briefly, what is something that your dad taught you to do? Sweep the garage. Right.
And the instructions that I had to sweep all of that to the middle.
Right.
And then throw it away.
And then throw it away.
Yep.
Yep. Anybody else? What did your dad teach you to do?
Work with tools.
Work with tools so you don't cut your hand off. Yep. Joel.
Hey, Joel.
Sorry.
He only caught me
parking. What else? What are some other things your dad taught you?
Change of tire.
Change of tire. Very, very important skill to have. Yep. Plumbing, yep. That's great. Can save you some money. Yeah. What's this?
Never give up. Never give up.
How to drive a stick shift.
That's a good skill to have too. All right. So model the importance of going to church. Yeah. That's a little backhanded compliment there. How to tell a terrible joke that people still laugh at. You got any of those you want to share with us? No? No? All right. We're in a series called Soundbites from Heaven, looking in the book of Proverbs. And Proverbs is this book that has these little snippets, these little snapshots of wisdom. Little phrases. I don't know if you guys remember, it seems like 10, 15 years ago, there was a whole slew of books that came out that was like a father's wisdom for a college student, a mother's wisdom for teenage daughters. You know, there was all these that came out. And that's the way I picture the book of Proverbs. It's like God's little book of wisdom, you know, and those books were kind of small. They were just bullet points. You could just read one point, ponder it, the wisdom. It might be something you never thought of or something that you're like, wow, I do need to learn that or do that. And that's the way the book of Proverbs is. The book of Proverbs, as you open it up and begin to look at it, sometimes, you know, you turn to other Bible study and you can read through and kind of need to read through a whole section to kind of get the narrative and the story. Sometimes the book of Proverbs, you can open it up and read two lines and go, wow. All right, that's all I need for right now to digest that. The book of Proverbs gives us this wisdom for life. It's real different than any other parts of the Bible that give us kind of theology and promises and narrative about the person of Christ. The book of Proverbs, it gives us just the situational wisdom. And that in this situation, it's best to do this. What's interesting is that sometimes Proverbs even seem like they contradict each other, because in this situation it may be best to do this, but in this situation over here it may be best to do exactly the opposite. And so it's got this wisdom that sometimes you've got to kind of look into and figure out and see what the situation is that God's trying to lead and guide us through. I wish that I had written down all of the different things that my dad, the phrases or sayings or things that he taught me. But the great thing is we've got God's Word where he's done that. And he's given us this book of Proverbs where we can study it and we can take this wisdom and begin to apply it to our lives. If you look through the book of Proverbs, as I was kind of reading through, I noticed about 20 times in the first 10 chapters of the book, he says, my son. I'm not sure how many times he says it throughout the whole book, because I kind of got bored of counting, short attention span, I guess. But 20 times in the first third of the book, he says, my son, and then he gives some instruction. And Proverbs 1, 8, and 9, that's kind of the section we want to look at this morning. He says, listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. We see right in this passage, we see a couple of things. We see this idea of wisdom is described in a way that it's something that adorns us. It is something that graces who we are. And that what we want to see is that, first of all, wisdom is something that makes us attractive in God's eyes. All right, it's something that gives us transformation. It's something that adorns us, not makes us look more important, not in a prideful way, but in a way that is valuable, and that God sees its value, and that wisdom is something that has value. And we have to kind of grapple with that as we begin to dive into this. Really, with this whole series, if you don't value wisdom, then a lot of this is kind of irrelevant. And so is wisdom something that we desire? Hopefully it is something that all of us desire. But I see in this passage, he says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." He's speaking to a son, and he's saying, listen to your parents' instruction. And there's kind of something that is assumed in that verse, and that is that the mother and the father are giving instruction. All right? That the mother and the father are giving instruction. And the entire book of Proverbs, we see it is based on this responsibility that we have as parents to pass on wisdom, to pass on learning, to pass on teaching to those who are our children, to those who are younger, or those who are not as far along in the journey as we are. And so out of this passage, I want to challenge us with a couple of thoughts. The first one is the importance to pay it forward. All right, the importance to pay it forward. And that I have a need, I have a responsibility before God to take that wisdom that I have and pass it on to someone else. 2 Timothy 2:2 reiterates this in a different way. It's a great passage. Paul is speaking to Timothy. Timothy is a younger guy. Timothy has been training under Paul. Paul has been doing ministry with Timothy alongside of him. And now Timothy is kind of off on his own, and Paul is seeking to encourage him, and he says, "And the things that you heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." He's saying, okay, remember, what did you watch me do? What did you hear me say? Now, Timothy, I want you to take that and pass that on to someone else. Teach that to someone else. Instruct that to someone else. And also make sure it doesn't stop there, but teach them and train them in such a way that they can then pass it on. You almost have four generations of wisdom in this very short verse. Paul and Timothy, and the person that Timothy's going to pass it on to, and the person that they're going to pass it on to. How important is it for us, really, as believers in life and the work of the church and navigating through life, how important is it for us to pass on what God has given us? Life is difficult to navigate through. I don't really even have to say that. We all know that. Life is difficult, and we are faced with situations where a lot of times our thought is, I don't know what to do here. I don't know how to get out of this situation. I don't know what's best. It's just difficult. And I know that there were times in my life, and you can probably relate to this, of when you really wish that you had someone walking through situations with you where they would help you avoid making some of the mistakes that you did. I know there are times I had people all around me. I was really blessed to have people who cared about me, who had, you know, small group leaders and youth pastors and my father and my brother and all these different people. There were times that I was navigating through, you know, deep waters, and I did not have someone right there navigating me through. And now as I look back, the pain and struggle of those bad decisions, you just wish that you had had someone there. Now, you may be on the other side of that, and there are people all around you who desperately need someone to grab their hand, to put an arm around their shoulder and say, let me walk through this with you. Let me help you make wise choices. Let me help you avoid mistakes. So it's imperative that we take what we know and we pay it forward. I want to give a specific challenge this morning to fathers. Being Father's Day, being a focus is on that relationship between father and child. The truth is that I find that in many ways, we have abdicated our role and our task of guiding our children to our wives. It is something that is kind of an epidemic, and that wives are naturally nurturers. They are naturally guiders. Men are naturally providers. And we get so wrapped up in providing and providing well that we forget that God has actually given us a responsibility and a task to teach our children and to train them, to sit with them and talk with them about God's word, spiritual truth, to talk about life choices, to impart to them all of the things that they need to navigate through life. We need to take up our God-given responsibility and impart God's wisdom to them. As for the rest of us, I want to ask you a simple question. Who do you have in your life that you're teaching, guiding, and leading? This idea of having discipleship relationships or mentoring relationships, do you have somebody that's either younger or not as far along in the journey that you are helping through? Maybe they're a younger Christian, maybe they're a younger person, but you're able to bring them along and help them out. Who am I pouring into? Who am I giving my time and energy to help them avoid maybe some of the mistakes that I have? So this brings up an important thought as I think about discipling someone who is younger, pouring my life into someone who's younger. That's been really my job and my life for the past 25 years, is just being involved in teens' lives, helping them to navigate rough waters, getting involved in their lives, sharing with them, instructing them, and encouraging them. All right? And what comes along with that is when I begin to engage young people and I begin to talk about important things about, drinking and smoking and drugs and sex and all these different things, and we begin to dialogue about that, something very scary happens in the middle of that. The younger person says, what about you? And a lot of times we don't want to disciple someone because we haven't really dealt with or seen the value in our past mistakes. So we don't want anybody getting caught up in our business, and we don't want to admit the things that we've done, and so we just don't talk about those things. And I want to encourage you that there is power in your story. There is so much power in the things that you've been through, because you are who you are today because of the struggles and the mistakes and the failures, along with the victories and the successes. So as you've navigated through those things, you've made mistakes and you've learned from it. And God has given you a ton of wisdom and the ability to sit with a younger person and to be honest and say, you know what, I was right there and I did the wrong thing. And I learned from it. And let me share why. And let me share how God taught me through the midst of that. That is so powerful. You know, the interesting thing is younger students oftentimes see older adults, probably not their parents, but older adults, as kind of super Christians. We see our parents as people that just kind of annoy us, right? You know, you see other people in the church and you think, oh, they've had it all together, or look how spiritual they are, or they're kind of super Christians, I can't ever be like that. When we begin to get down to the nitty-gritty and share about life, in the struggles, and we kind of unpack some of that, they go, wow, you're real. You're just like me. What can I learn from that? And so as I am able to take all of my failures, I'm able to be confident enough in that to kind of hold it out to someone and say, let me teach you from where I've made my mistakes, and that we can come alongside and begin to help them to not make some of the same mistakes. How important is it for us to pay it forward? All right. So that begs the question, if I'm going to pay it forward, then I have to have it, right? The old saying, you can't give away what you don't possess, that's very true. I cannot teach somebody wisdom if I'm, you know, dumb as a post. I have to have wisdom myself to be able to pass it on. And so I want to take a look at what does it look like to begin to gain wisdom. The second thought is you can't give away what you do not possess. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. This father and this mother and this proverb have something to offer. They have wisdom to offer because they have learned along the way. So how do I become wise? That's a good question. Ask God for wisdom. That's what Solomon did. How do I become wise, though? How do I gain wisdom so that I have the ability to pass it on? Well, the first thing would be to listen to the wisdom of those who have gone before you. All right? It's now flip-flopping and putting it on the other foot, in a sense. There are men and women who have gone through some of the same things that you'll face, and we need to be able to learn from their experiences. We need to be able to learn from their experiences. And again, the same pride creeps in here. We don't like for people to meddle in our lives. We like to keep our issues private. We don't want our weaknesses to show. And so if I need to go to someone else and ask for their wisdom, that takes a significant amount of humility. But facing our struggles and weaknesses will allow us to share those with someone who can guide us through it all. And it will give us the opportunity to benefit from the wisdom of others. So earlier I talked about, you know, the importance of someone younger and not as far along and sharing wisdom with them and discipling them and mentoring them. Well, there's a need to look to the other side and ask yourself, who is building into me? Who is it that I am submitting to their wisdom, to their leadership, that I am being honest with them about where I'm at, that I am gaining wisdom because I'm allowing them to teach me, that they are pouring into me, that they are wiser than me. On our mission trip, there was several things that happened, that this whole idea of gleaning from someone older, of allowing their wisdom to impact. There was several things that just, it was interesting because I didn't really put it together until I started prepping for this. And one of those, interpreters that come with our team. And they're not just interpreters that we hire. It's like someone who knows Haitian Creole and English. It's not just someone who's there just for the language barrier. These are interpreters that work for RMI that are passionate about what they do. They love Jesus. They love their community. Their goal is to help churches around the world partner with churches in Haiti and push the gospel further. So these are people that not only can they help you interpret, but they love what they do. And they're so passionate. And I was just so impressed with who they are and their character. And as we're driving around in these dangerous roads, you know, that kind of freak you out. And if you've ever been to Haiti, you know what I'm talking about. As we're driving around, you're trying not to be too much of a distraction, but you're also trying to get to know these guys. So I just, you know, have casual conversation, just kind of asking them about what's going on, you know, getting to know RMI and the churches. And eventually the conversations would work back around to them. And And these two men, specifically Franz and Peregrin, were two men that as we talked, I began to discover that these guys just absolutely love the Lord. And they are so passionate about the gospel. And as I began to get to know them more and the questions developed, both of them talked about their fathers and the impact that their fathers had on who they were. Both of them had fathers that were pastors. Both of them had fathers that loved them well, that showed grace and mercy early on when they made mistakes and forgave them and helped them move on. And I just saw, what a legacy. Here's these two guys that are out there just having a huge impact. And it was because their fathers invested in who they were. We also got a chance to visit with we had a deacon's meeting, and after the deacon's meeting, they had shared about a couple of needs, and there was a young man in the church that ran the soundboard, and he was probably in his early 20s, and his father, about a year ago, had gotten sick, and they tried to do all kinds of treatment, and they tried to, you know, help him with the local kind of medical that was available, and it just was more than they could handle, and so they sent him to a bigger hospital, and eventually, just after about a year of struggling through this, his father died. And so when we were there, his father had only died probably a week earlier. And so we went to do kind of a church visit to sit and talk with the family. And one of the people that was on our team just said, "Tell me about your father," kind of in a moment to kind of honor this man and who he was. And tell me about your father. And he went on to talk about how amazing his father was, what a servant of God he was, you know, how committed he was to church, that he was a wise man, that he was a hard worker. And after he got done sharing, Pastor Kalitz, the pastor, he turned to us and through an interpreter said, "Everything that you heard this guy say just now about his father, I want you to know that that is true of him. That he is a man of God, that he loves the Lord, that he loves the church, that he has integrity and honesty, that he's a hard worker, that he's wise." And what a powerful testimony that is of the legacy of these men passing on to the future generation, to their own children, what the most important things in life are, and how to engage life out of the wisdom that God has provided. To give a little bit of context to that, Haiti, and you probably know this, Haiti is a wreck. I mean, it has been for a long time, but 7 or 8 years ago, they had a massive earthquake. And then just over the past year, they had an amazing, powerful hurricane just rip through, right through where we were at. And just destruction and devastation, ripped up crops and everything. And then shortly after that, they had massive flooding. And so everybody is just doing what they can now just to make it, just to get by. They are looking for ways to survive. Everybody is in survival mode. And what I see in the midst of that, and this is interesting, everything about their life is unlike anything that we seek. We seek comfort, we seek security, we seek order and control, and they have none of that. And yet they are so satisfied in their relationship with God. They are so joyful, they are so passionate, because they have looked at God's wisdom and said, you know what, happiness is not found in safety and security and control and order. It's found in who Christ is. It's found in faith in God and trusting Him. And that was just a powerful reminder of, I can learn from the wisdom of these Haitian people what it looks like, and this amazing legacy of these fathers that are pouring into. So here's these three men that I got to meet that were willing to look to someone older and say, "I want to learn from you. I'm going to humble myself and recognize I don't know it all, and I need to learn from you." So how do I become wise? I listen to the wisdom of those who have gone before me. And then, secondly, I apply the wisdom of the Heavenly Father. It's great to have people that you're pouring wisdom into. It's great to have people that are pouring into you. But if you are not gaining insight from God Himself, then there's a major part that is missing. It is important for me to go straight to the source, because God is the source of all wisdom. God is wisdom. And so in order for me to gain wisdom from the Heavenly Father, several things that I want to encourage you to do. One is to immerse yourself in God's Word. Immerse yourself in God's Word. God has given us His Word, and so many times we take it for granted that it's sitting right there on the nightstand and we don't spend time in it. We're busy, we get caught up in life, and we forget that I need to get in God's Word all the time so that it can begin to do battle against the things that I begin to believe and think to be true that aren't. And that God's Word can begin to rub up against that and help mold me and transform me. One of the things that I think I get caught up in doing, and you may can relate to this, sometimes I spend time in God's Word looking for things that support me, that encourage me, and almost kind of affirm what I already believe to be true. And I'm reading through God's Word, and I'm kind of like, amen, amen, amen. That's great. Looking for that comfort and encouragement. I want to encourage you to think about looking at God's Word. Those are all great things. But I want to encourage you to think about spending some time in God's Word. And how many times do you do this? God, I'm about to spend some time in Your Word, and I pray that it wrecks me. I pray that as I look at it, it penetrates me and breaks me. As I am willing to look at who I am and how I am unlike Christ in so many ways that I want His Word to wreck my heart and my soul, therefore, I'm willing to admit that I don't have it all together and He's got wisdom to offer. And so I begin to learn differently when I approach God's Word that way. I don't just need God's Word to affirm what I already believe. I need God's Word to completely confront me on where I fall short, and that it will then begin to develop in me the things that I'm missing. Secondly, so I need to immerse myself in God's Word. Secondly, I need to stop doing what I'm doing if it doesn't work. All right, what is insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. All right, and we live life that way sometimes. We just do things and it doesn't work. We treat our kids a certain way and it doesn't work. And we do business a certain way and maybe it doesn't always work. We live life participating in activities and doing things, seeking life satisfaction, and it just doesn't work. But we keep doing it, right? And so I need wisdom looks around and says, what's not working, and stop doing it. Try something different. You know, try something different. Have the courage and the boldness to recognize that and move in a different direction. All right? So here's the great thing about Psalms is sometimes they like to say things that are exactly opposite. So I'm going to say for us to learn and apply the wisdom of the Heavenly Father, we need to keep doing what we're doing even if it doesn't work. All right? So you need to stop doing what you're doing if it's not working. But then you need to keep doing what you're doing, even if it's not working. And the difference is that if you are following God's instruction, if you are following after His leading, if you are living life as the best you can, according to kind of God's plan, direction, and leading, inspired by the Holy Spirit, but things don't seem to be working out, don't stop. Don't stop. I can imagine that if you're owning a business and you're dead set on, you know, integrity and honesty and doing the right thing and being morally upright, those things cost you sometimes. Those things do not always benefit you financially in business. Sometimes you kind of need to be sneaky a little bit underhanded to make the most money. So as you're working in your business and you're doing the right thing, You may come to a realization sometimes this isn't necessarily working best, but don't stop. You may be investing in your children and teaching them wisdom and loving them and guiding them and leading them. In the midst of that, they are rebelling and pushing back. Don't just throw in the towel and stop. Keep at it. And so if you're following God's wisdom, if you are following the leading of the Lord and living according to the Holy Spirit's leadership in your life, don't stop doing the things you know you need to be doing. Just keep doing them. Those things may eventually pay off. I don't know how many times I've heard stories or if I had people come back to me. They'll walk in that back building and they're like 23, 24. They walk in and they're like, first of all, I have to apologize to you for being such a jerk. I never listened. I distracted. But I want you to know the things you said eventually hit me and they made a difference. So we may not see the results. We may not see the change that happens. So don't stop doing those things. So my encouragement this morning is we need to be wise people. In order to be wise, we need to immerse ourselves in God's word. We need to stop doing things that aren't working. Keep doing things even if it's not working. We need to listen to the wisdom of those who have gone before us, and we need to desperately seek on how to pass that on to those who are behind us. There is this task that God has given us to take the gospel to the world. The wisdom of the gospel is contrary to the wisdom of the world, and there are all kinds of voices and forces that are molding our culture and our society. And we definitely need people to stand up and say, I will learn from God's wisdom and I will pass it on. When we begin to do that, when we begin to disciple and be discipled, when we begin to mentor and be mentored, when we begin to get in this line of allowing God to transform lives and pass it on one life to another, God is going to be glorified in the midst of that. The church will accomplish what the church is supposed to accomplish, and he will be glorified. Let me pray for us this morning. God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for the wisdom that you have passed on to us in your little book of wisdom. God, I pray that we will learn from it, that we will be willing to admit where we have weaknesses. God, I pray for every single person in this room that they would be able to, if they don't already have, that they would be able to find someone to pour into and someone to be poured into from. God, lead us to those people. Lead us to older, wiser people who can help us along the journey. Help us to keep our eyes open for those who need us to help them along. God, may we all find time to bathe deeply in your word and your wisdom. And God, I just want to just say a quick prayer for fathers, that you would give them endurance in life, that you would give them joy, God, that you would give them character and boldness. God, help us to engage our children at maybe a deeper level than maybe we have so far. They desperately need us. And God, help us to be the fathers that you've called us to be. And we just pray this.